Penny Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hello, hello, and welcome to Moe's Paisley Penny Arcade. I am Moe. I guess we're lucky that that's the case. And this is the Paisley Penny Arcade. And, there it is. That's it. That's what this is, and I'm here, and you're here, and we're all here, and that's that. And how are you doing? I hope you're all doing well. I'm doing well. And, hello. Today is Wednesday, the 6th of August, 2025. That's right, we're already in August. And today is Lunasa. Lunasa. I know some calendar said it was on the 1st of August, but that's observed because it's actually a solar holiday. I'll explain that in just a second. If all goes well, this is being streamed live to YouTube. Now, I won't know that until the show is over, because I'm not going to check now. But if all is going well, that's how it's working. It's going straight to YouTube. I'm not doing this with my face. Well, I'm doing it with my face. Otherwise, it would be just a mouth floating in space. But I'll be using the camera next week because I needed to do some things in my office and I didn't get them done. And technology is hard enough as it is. So next week, if you want to watch me do this, you can tune into my YouTube channel, which is YouTube at Mo Abdelbaki. And that's it. MOABDELBAKI. Which is a lot like Carl LaFong, capital L, small a, capital F, small o, small n, small g. If you don't know that, then you're not a W.C. Fields fan from a movie, which is actually a hilarious bit. But that's a different story, and I hope you're doing well. The world, it is still ridiculous, and speaking of that, no, I won't go there. I shan't do it. So hopefully next week I will be visible, or I'm now invisible, so that's all right. So you don't have to see that I am just wearing underwear. No, I'm dressed. I'm dressed. I do keep dressed, so that's just the way I am. I like to do that. I like to wear clothes, mainly because I'm old and cold. That's it. And you get to see the weird hats that I wear, because I do wear hats, because the old noggin is, you know, it's not completely devoid of hair, but there is some hair up there. But I do get a chill from time to time. Indeed. So, Lunasa. So what is Lunasa? Well, there are quarter days, and the quarter days are the equinoxes and the solstices. And then there are cross-quarter days, and the cross-quarter days are familiar to you. The most important is Halloween, Samhain. Samhain is the old New Year, the old New Year. And we don't view it as that any longer, but it's the end of the harvest season. I'll make a bigger deal out of it when we get there in a couple of months. And we'll talk about it then. But it all has to do with farming. It all has to do with bringing in the sheaves, as they say. And are you reeling in the ears? That's a different story completely. So on, let's see, Imolc, in bulk is one, and that coincides exactly to our hound dog day. No, that's Elvis, and that's a different story. To our Groundhog Day and Beltane, which is our May Day, and of course it's a few days off of that. And and there's another one, and that is then there's the solstice, and let's see, I'm missing one. Imbolc, and then Beltane, and then Lunasa, and then that's it, and then Samhain. Yeah, so those are the four. And they're very important for harvest and for agrarian cultures, of which every culture is essentially agrarian, except Inuit and the Sami cultures, which are part of the Inuit nation, and because they don't do a lot of agrarian work up in the Arctic, because they can't. And of course, the Sami who live also in the Siberian area as well, I think. Mongolians, do they do much? No, they're nomadic mostly, and they milk horses and make a really mean drink out of that stuff, fermented horse milk, which I guess can pack quite a kick. Thank you so much. Here we are, and what happens is that you've been working so hard in the fields, and by today, which is indeed Lunasa, you have a pretty good idea as to whether or not you're going to have a good harvest or not. So you look around and you assess, and either you're going to have a bum harvest, not a good crop, or you're going to have a good harvest. And if you're going to have a good harvest, what you do is you take some of the grain from the last year. This, of course, is, we're talking old time stuff. And you take that grain and you grind it up and you make bread out of it. And you take that bread, because it's in store, you know, and you take that bread to a big feast tonight. And everyone brings a loaf of bread to that feast. And this is pre-Christian. Let's make sure we know that. Why? It doesn't matter, does it? Don't worry about it. And we celebrate the heck out of the night. The heck out of it. We just have a big, big hound dog, because Elvis is there. We have a big hound dog celebration, and he sings late into the night. You didn't know Elvis was pagan, did you, pre-Christian Presley? So, I'm kidding. People might get upset, you know. You never know what people are going to get upset about anymore. So, happy Lunasa. It's a good day to get some good bread. Find some good, fresh baked bread. And, it's not quite time yet for fresh off-the-tree apples. Peaches here in Colorado. We have what are called Palisades peaches, grown in Palisades, Colorado, and areas around there. And plums and, oh my goodness, just all the wonders and the great fruits of the earth. Probably zucchini. If you grow zucchini, you probably have thousands of them by now. Pumpkins and gourds and, God, my goodness, the bounties. The bounty of the earth is truly unbelievable. And we should be very grateful for everything we have. Not everyone is grateful for everything they have. Have you noticed that? I've noticed it. A lot of people just aren't very grateful for what they have. And that's sad, and it's ridiculous, but that's just the way it is. So that's Lunasa. And also, these are the days in between. The days in between. Now, for those of you who are not crazy deadheads like me, what does that mean? Well, for you non-deadheads, the 1st of August was Jerry Garcia's birthday. Who's Jerry Garcia? Jerry Garcia was what we might call the front man of the Grateful Dead, the band, the rock band formed in 1965, 66 or so. 65, I think. Yeah. They're 60 years old this year. And they were the just an amazing band, as far as I'm concerned. Not everyone is as into them as I am and have been for a long, long time. So, the Dead, as they're known, the Grateful Dead, as they're known, wonderful band. And Jerry Garcia was, without doubt, in my opinion, a wonderful man. He was very laid back. Unfortunately, he was also a heroin addict for a long period of his life. Who knows why? I mean, there were a lot of drugs that he also took that were very popular at the time, like LSD, which was kind of the mind candy of the time, and Timothy Leary, and, you know, he was a friend of Jack Kerouac and Neil Cassidy's, and they were, I mean, the wild people talking, you know, the bridge between the beatnik age and the hippie age, Ken Kesey with his Kool-Aid acid tests, and they were the band of the Kool-Aid acid tests, so there was a lot of acid testing. And, you know, it was just a wild time. And so there was an entire generation and blah, 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 blah. Well, born on August the 1st, and he was in rehab, 1995? Yeah, 95. And I think it was 95. I think that's right. And he died on August the 9th in rehab of a heart attack. And it's, you know, it's just, it was heart-wrenching. I remember I was driving and I heard on the radio they played, I think they played Truckin' or Friend of the Devil, something like that. These are famous Grateful Dead songs. And then they played Broke Down Palace. And Broke Down Palace is kind of a sad song about someone who's getting ready to kind of die. And I heard it and I knew right away. First of all, it was an FM station. I'd never heard him play two Grateful Dead songs in a row. And when they played Broke Down Palace, I knew right away that that was what had happened. And I pulled over into a park. And I just listened and listened to the song. And when it was over, the VA mentioned, you know, he said, you know, Jerry Garcia dead at 53. He looked 83. And I just started crying. It was like he was an older brother, you know. He was someone that I knew so well from the time I was, you know, just a young whatever I was, you know, just into the movement, into the times. And so, and a policeman came over, he saw me, and he knocked, he said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Jerry Garcia died." And he kind of gave me a look like, "Oh, okay." Yeah, like he kind of understood, I guess, and that was that. And it was horrible for me. And a lot of people. And to this day, we still miss Jerry. So that's what In Between Days, the days in between are between August 1st and August 9th. And traditionally, what you do is you listen to nothing but the Grateful Dead and Jerry Garcia for that whole time. So you may hear that term. That's that. So have sympathy for us if you see us with our Grateful Dead logos and our, you know, dancing bears, marching bears, actually. They're goose stepping. There's a different story there. But so what am I going to talk about today, other than trivia? Today I'd like to talk about love and romance and oracles, which I think is an incredibly important topic. Because there's a proper way to talk to oracles when it comes to love and romance. Yeah, and I have been doing this for, well over 50 years. Well, about, you know, I mean, doing readings for much, well, actually, since I was a kid. And when you're very young, you don't ask about love and romance because, you know, kids, mostly I was reading for boys in the beginning. And they don't want to talk about that, you know. But eventually it's like that's all they want to talk about. But when you get to a certain age and you begin actually doing readings for people, they want to know about love and romance. And it's the number one topic I've dealt with over my tenure, my career. And there really are proper ways to do it. There are things to do, and it's important to have a basic understanding of asking the right questions. So I thought I'd do that today, because I know a lot of people listening read for themselves. They have cards at home. They do astrology with maybe that idea of looking at transits and so on. That's way too deep a question for this particular show. But they may want to ask the I Ching and, you know. But I'm hoping that this will be a helpful show for you. There are some strategies here and some philosophies of life here. So if you want to understand oracles some more, this show may help you. I hope it does. So there's a basic question I have to ask you. Can you stand honesty? Can you deal with the truth? Right? I'm not going to do the Jack Nicholson thing. You can't stand the truth. But if you can't stand the truth, then stay away from divination. Unless you have someone that does readings for you, or you do readings for yourself, and you want to lie to yourself. If you're going to do that, then have fun, Get out your deck and play, oh, this is wondrous, and I'm oh so happy because this is telling me exactly what I wanted to hear. There's no real good in doing that. You're not going to gain a single thing by doing that. Oracles are designed for the truth. That's what they're about. And if you're only going to try to get what you want out of them, I guarantee you, you're not going to have a very good time, because they're going to lie to you. Actually, no, they're not going to lie. The oracles don't lie. You lie to yourself, or the person doing the reading may be just trying to tell you what you want to hear. Now, there's nothing worse than that to me. Nothing worse. I've been doing this a long time. And it's truly, you deal with a lot of people and a lot of different types of people. And you realize, as you begin to utter the words, that you're talking to someone who may really, truly not like what you're saying. They may truly despise the words that are coming out of your mouth. And they don't want to hear them. And they don't want you to say them. But you've got no choice but to tell the truth. If you can't stand the truth, if you don't want to hear the truth, then you shouldn't be dealing with oracles. You shouldn't be reading tarot. You shouldn't be getting tarot card readings, right? And if you can't hear someone say, you know, this just isn't going to work, then you shouldn't wind up the whole concept again and go to another reader or pick out another deck or ask the same question. What is worse than asking an oracle the same question over and over and over again? Now, okay, I've done it. We all do it. You have a question and you ask a deck, okay, am I gonna get this result, this wonderful result? And the cards say, you know, Mo, I'd like to tell you yes, but the answer is no. So give it up. Shuffle, 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 and shuffle. Hey, am I going to get this wonderful result? You know, Mo, I told you no. The answer is no. Give it up. No, it's not going to happen. Shuffle, 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 shuffle. Riffle, shuffle. Overhand shuffle, Hindu shuffle, backhanded shuffle, whatever shuffle. Am I going to get this wonderful result? You know, Mo, you are. Have fun. You're going to get the result you want. Have fun. Don't ask me again. I don't think you're being sincere, cards. I'm going to shuffle, 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 shuffle. Ask you one more time. You know, Mo, you're going to fall off a cliff and die. That's what they do. They'll tell you the worst possible scenario if you ask and ask again, because that's what they do. I'm not sure if it's a lesson they're trying to teach or if there's something else happening, but take my word for it. Asking too many times is not necessarily a good idea. You want to be able to take the truth and just go with it. Now, of course, when doing a reading for somebody or yourself, you don't want to just go by one card. You know, you don't just pull what you say, oh, I just met someone, and you pull the Empress card, and you go, oh, yay! You got to pull another card or two. Don't just go by one-card readings. One-card readings are extremely dangerous because we're talking about, you know, you have to use your intuition. And intuition, unless you get that one card and you feel this zing go up from your base chakra all the way up to the lotus at the top, you know. If you get that and it's genuine and you know it and, you know, ta-da, and wedding bells are ringing, then good for you. I mean, I had love at first sight when I was, 20? Yeah, 20 years old. You know. I paid for that one. I mean, got two wonderful children, blah, blah, blah. But it really wasn't the right thing for me. I'll just put it that way, you know. And I'm a persistent snot. I really am. I mean, I'll just, once I decide, I make my mind up on something, that's just the way it's going to be. So that can work to your detriment as well. So honesty and seeing the truth is so important. I can't dwell on that enough. You have to be able to take the truth. Now, I've had the cards tell me the truth. Absolutely scathing, burning, itching, flaking truth. And I will look at it and go, okay, now I know. What do you do? What do you do? It can be brutal. I mean brutal, brutal, brutal. It hurts, but you get used to it over time. You get used to hearing the truth over time. Your life changes with the truth. You see it. You know it. But the truth is so freeing. It frees you up, and you get to, because with the lies in life, the lies that we tell ourselves fill everything up. They take a lot of room in our lives. They take a lot of room in our world. I don't want that. Do you want that? Do you want your life to be so full of BS? To be so full of delusion and self-destructive illusions that you don't have room for better stuff? I know you don't. And especially when it comes to anything that's metaphysical, because that can really bog us down and drag us into a sort of a whirlpool of crap. Been there, done that. Okay? So when you get the solid truth, like, is so-and-so fooling around? Well, I'm not fooling around. And that makes it worse, right? Okay, so you're in a relationship, and you're being true as can be. And you ask the cards, blah, 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 and the cards say, boom. And you get a card, and you go, well, wait a minute. That says so-and-so is fooling around. And I'm not. And you go, well, I'm not going to do one card. Mo said not to do just one card. So I'll pick another card, and boom. Oh, my God. That really says... And you have to know things. You have to know how to use the oracle, whatever it may be. Let me try another card here. Boom. Or do another I Ching casting, and boom, there it is. Well, then you can, now you have a choice. And one of the keys of any oracle, you don't have to believe it. And that's really important. I have a tendency to, because I've been through it. I've been through it time and time again and found it works. I found it to be true. But you don't necessarily have to act on it right away. I've waited a long time sometimes to act upon something. I mean, I made a decision when something happened in my life, and it didn't happen for 5 years, but I kept it in my mind the entire time. But when the moment came, boom, I made that decision because I was prepared. And it was no easier. It hurt, but it was the type of thing that I knew I had to do. And I did it. And it was the right thing to do. You can trust me on that. We have to know the real world around us. And that's one of the reasons for divination to exist. You know, it's like the old saying, God answers all prayers. Sometimes the answer is no. And there's a lot to that. There's a lot to that concept that sometimes the answer is not only no, but hell no. And bet your life, no. And this isn't your path. I used to think I knew what my path was. I thought it was to be an academic and to do this and that. But I deliberately chose a specific path with a specific person that it didn't work out to go the way I thought it would go. So here I am, here now, but I'm a pretty happy guy. I am. I like my life. I like it, though. Not everything is, you know, hunky-dory, you know, leprechauns and rainbows. It just isn't that way. But then again, I don't know what it would have to be that way, you know, except maybe, you know, LSD. But, you know, I don't do that anymore. I haven't done that since I was in my teens, actually. Was I 20s? Maybe. No, was I in my, I don't remember. It's been a long, long, it's been decades. Decades. I mean, I just, at one point, I just said, that's it, I'm done. I'm done. Finished. That's it. Don't need it anymore. Don't need it anymore. And frankly, it didn't need me either. See, there are two worlds. There's that world and there's this world. And they are quite separate. It is, as Carlos Castaneda so beautifully put it, a separate reality. His books, by the way, are quite revelatory if you read them with the proper frame of mind. I don't mean stoned, I mean lucid, awake. And I mean straight, but read them with the idea of spirituality, with the fact that they are spiritually written books. And people have said, oh, they are just all BS. And I'm thinking, no, they're not, because I've read them, and there are many things in there that are quite germane to real life when you begin to understand how things work. But that's neither here nor there, and it's a completely different subject. If you can get used to the honesty of the I Ching, of Tarot, of astrology and transits in your life, you'll get used to dealing with a life based in truth. Harsh sometimes, but beautiful truth. All right? You may not act, but you'll be clear. And clarity is the key to a happy life. Please allow me to repeat that. Not that you can stop me, you can turn me off, but clarity is the key to a happy life. Confusion is never happy. Confusion can't be happy. Confusion puts people back on their hind legs, so to speak. Not that we have hind legs exactly. I don't know what that meant. But that's why there's so much trouble right now, politically and economically, because there is chaos and confusion. Two different things, actually. Believe it or not, I define them as different. But we have both chaos and we have confusion. I won't define them now. So, and much of it is specifically created to be that way, you see. Because if we have chaos and confusion, then it's a lot easier to keep people struggling to find happiness. If people are happy, well, it's a different game. Why do you want them to struggle? Well, then they don't kind of glom together and unite. I don't want to go into politics. I'll get myself into an immense amount of trouble. And that's not what I'm looking for today. Go read my Power Peak from last week if you didn't read it and see where trouble is. Oracles provide truth. They just do. Okay? It's very important. But you have to double check your answers. But once you double check them, triple check them, quadruple check them, accept it. Know it as gnosis, or gnosis, if you like ganache. Right? Know it. Know it as your truth. That's the value of these oracles to us in our lives. If you know something and you can accept it in the depths of who you are and live with it, for example, can you live with loneliness? Can you say, yes, you darn tootin', I'm lonely? And not let it destroy you. That's important. A lot of people cannot. Can you deal with a situation where you are being made, quote unquote, a fool of in a relationship? I don't know, can you? Must you do something about it? That's up to you. Some people can, some people cannot. Is it advantageous for you to make a move right now? Or is it disadvantageous to do something? I don't know, is that? Is it the wrong thing to do? This is what the oracles are for. So instead of saying, we'll get to that. Oracles. Love is the big goal in life. People think it's money. I read for plenty, it's money. Business, 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 business. And I've dealt with that for decades. And it's important because we need to make a living, and people want to be, they want to be incredibly wealthy. I have read for incredibly wealthy people, and I like them. They're nice people. They're good people. They do what they do. I've read for incredibly randy people who qualify it by whatever they qualify it by. I've read for people, with very few morals who otherwise were, they weren't relatively decent, but I've read for sociopaths. I've actually read for a couple of what I would consider to be psychopaths who were planning dastardly things, which I think I talked them out of it. But really, in all of it, all y'all, love is the big goal. And acknowledgement of that we all want love, whether it be love physically or emotionally or love of a parent or love of whatever it may be. Love is so important. And it's been that way since the beginning of time. Right? That's just the way it is. We love to love. I'm a romantic. I'll never stop believing in love and the acquisition of it. Now, that sounded weird. I don't mean that the way it sounded. And I'm going to tell you, I don't think that I would go to a dating site just because, number one, I'm kind of cheap. I'm a Taurus. We don't give it up that easily. But there's the internet is huge, 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 huge. Yes, I'm married. I know that. But if God forbid, something were to happen and blah, blah, blah. But I'm just saying, there are so many people in the world, and I believe that there is a hand that gently guides us to people. And you feel it when you meet someone, and there's a little bit of a tinkle. Not tinkle, That's something else completely. Not my thing. Tingle. And you go, wait a minute, I feel something here. I don't know exactly how to, yeah, but that person makes me feel a little bit alive. There's something about that person. And you can feel it in an email. And it may never amount to anything. So let's say a question comes up to you. Let's just, okay, here's a good example. You ask the cards. You're going to ask the cards, should I have an affair? A long distance, some sort of affair with this person. Is that what you do? No, that's not what, because you know the answer to that. The very question reeks of judgment and guilt, doesn't it? Is that how you're going to do things in your life? Is that what you're going to do to yourself? You're going to start whipping yourself before you even got started? Oh, no, that's not what we do. That's not what we do. So you ask, what will be the ramifications if I have this affair? I mean, you're being honest. You should already know whether you should or not. And you should run your life accordingly. You know yourself pretty well. If you want to get to know someone better and be friends, then that's one thing. If you want to, you know, amp up the electricity in your life a little bit, because let's say things just aren't very interesting in your world, you know what you can do and what you can't do. What you should do and shouldn't do is up to you. And I'm not advocating anything immoral or anything, because morality is your job. It's not the card's job. That's not what they do. Some of the iconography on those cards comes directly from Catholicism. That's just the way it is. But don't let that be something that is burdening you. It's funny that those Catholic cards eventually became the devil's work, you know, when in fact it came directly from Catholicism. Yeah, it did, by the way. You know that. You know, St. Anthony is the hermit. St. Catherine is the wheel. St. Barbara is the tower. I mean, St. Oswald of Northumbria may have been one of the models for the hanged man. There's some others, you know. I think St. Saturnus? I don't know if he was the other one as an Irish who was hung upside down. Didn't kill him. So don't, you know, let's not, you know your morality. There are people who ask me questions all the time. Am I going to do this? Am I going to have this meeting with this man? And it's like, why are you asking me? That's up to you. You should be asking me, am I going to get found out? Okay, am I going to get found out? Yes. There you go. The guards are saying you will get found out. So you have to know how you're going to react when that happens. Do you want to get found out? I asked a lady that once, do you want to get found out? And she said, you're damn right I do. I am so sick and tired of being taken for granted. I said, okay, there's your answer right there. That's what this is about. Are you interested in this guy? She said, no. Not really. He's kind of a schlub. I said, well, why are you schlubbing? Unless you just really want to do that, love is different than just schlubbing. What is love? Love is the most magnificent thing there is on this planet. Love for fellow human beings is not just a gift. It is the ultimate gift. What is more important than that? Well, the ultimate love, according to Aleister Crowley, was love by the creator for the created. Right? He likens that for the love of God for this for us, or the love of a parent for a child. There's nothing like it. I say that the love of a dog or a cat for its owner. And we don't own them. They own us. We know that. We took Cocoa Bean to the vet yesterday. Who owns whom? Or who? I'll tell you. She's in great health. Great health. And it isn't until you've lost a love like that that you realize the power of it. So these oracles demand truth of us, and we should demand the same truth from ourselves every single day. I try. It's not always easy to recognize our own truth. It's not always easy to realize that sometimes we're dealing with delusion. But if we face ourselves, like, I'm just going to, you know, this is not a pleasant thing to talk about, but I, after a shower and I'm dried off, I go and stand in front of a mirror and I look at myself every day without any clothes on and say, okay, there you are. Every day. And I look at myself and I go, man. And I take it in because I don't want to delude myself. I say, there you are. It's important for me. And I've done that since I was, I don't know when I started, maybe my late 20s. When I was in my 20s, I was, you know, I was still kind of hefty. I was hefty. I was overweight. But I didn't feel, I wasn't embarrassed about anything. I was a hippie. I was a freak. You know, I would go skinny dipping. I was kind of a lunatic. It wasn't until there was a feeling that others put shame upon me. Don't let people put shame upon you. You are a child of the universe. You are a child of nature. You are loved. I love you. And I mean that. You're saying, oh, Mo, you don't know me. I mean, how do you know I don't know you? Even if I've never met you, I love you. Yeah, I'm one of those kinds. You know? How do you know I don't love you? Another thing I ask people all the time is, can you get over it? In a relationship, if people have a grudge, if something happened, and it could be heinous, can you get over it? And if the answer is no, then I say, then end it. What do you mean, end it? I say, if you can't get over it, if you're going to hold this, if it's a pebble in your shoe, then end it. Finish it. The cards will always tell me. The I Ching will always tell you. End it. Because if you're not going to get over it, it will always come up. It's like carrying a body. You know? When you hold a grudge in a relationship and you won't put it down, you won't let it go, it's like carrying a corpse around with you all the time. And it's destructive and it's horrific and it's putrid. And man, I've been there, you've been there. Someone who brings up something over and over again, just when you think it's clear and it's done with, and they bring it up again. And, you know, when it happens to me, I just ignore it. I don't pay any attention to it. It's like, nope, doesn't exist. Because it doesn't exist to me. If you want to bring it up, bring it up. That's fine. It's like someone speaking to me in Smurf language, which I guess was English, so I'm a pretty troll language, something. You know? Bring it up. Bring it up again. And it doesn't do anything to me because it's completely unimportant to me. See, The cards will tell you these things. And they're cue cards. Remember, Tarot, which is my main tool, is like a set of cue cards that can change in midstream. You can pull a deck of cards, you can pull a card out of the deck and read it, and then suddenly it changes to some other meaning. Because it's contextual, it's just boom, boom, boom. And it happens so quickly and so beautifully and seamlessly. That's the way it is. But in romantic situations, let me tell you a quick story. I may have told this before. I had a client once, and back when the 12th house was a bookstore, and they had readers upstairs, and I was one of them. And this lady came in, and for some reason, the minute we locked eyes, that was it. It was quite bizarre. She felt it. I felt it. It was weirdest thing. She said, "Are you feeling this?" I said, "Hamana, hamana, hamana, hamana." And I started the reading, and I did the reading. And it was just undeniable chemistry. And I said, "I don't know what this is, but it's uncomfortable. And I'm really want more." She said, "I do too, but I'm not so sure." And we just talked about it a little bit after the reading was over. And it was like a supercharged reading because everything within me was just there. She said, "Come visit me." She ran a bar. I went to her bar, and it was everything we could do not to want to be alone, and that would have been disastrous. And it was, I don't know what it was. And I asked the cards about it, and the cards said, "You're insane. This is not for you." And I trusted them. I knew that was the case, but the cards were absolutely, and I wasn't reading into them anything because I wanted them to say, "You can do this. This will be fun. It's not serious." But they said, "This will be a disaster. Don't even think about it." So I didn't. And you know what? It passed. There is truth, especially when it comes to emotions, romance, hormones, whatever it was. We should listen. There have been times when I have not listened, and I have paid the price. There have been times when the cards have said, "Pal, this is a really bad idea. Don't do it, but I have done it anyway." And you know, there's that old saying, "Marry in haste, repent in leisure." And there's so much truth to that. It is absolutely the truth. There are problems when we don't pay attention to our intuition and to these tools. So don't ask, "Should I do this?" Ask, "What will be the ramifications if I do?" You know. Lose everything? Yeah, sure, you might. Lose everything? No. No, you'll be fine. You can do this. See, and that's the more realistic aspect of divinatory tools, because they can give you some pretty strong things, right? Now, I'm just going to, since I do tarot, that I'd give you some good cards for doing readings, okay, for love. This is something not everyone might know or might not do. So here we are. The Two of Wands, which is Mars and Aries. Two of Wands, Dominion. Now, you might not think that's a good card for a relationship, but it really is, because it has to do with two people in a relationship, and they're on the same footing. They're both of the same solid energetic stance. Both respect each other, both strong, and they get along. But more than that, there's respect, and equal healing properties for each other. It's a good relationship. It's not saying it'll be like that forever, but I like that card in a relationship. Reversed, it's possible abuse. Keep that in mind. Okay? The Six of Cups, pleasure. I like that card. In the Crowley deck, you have six cups, and those cups are all feeding themselves. They have a lotus, and each lotus is pouring the liquid, or whatever that stuff is, into its own cup. Now, on my deck, I set that up to be in a plane with the bags, the airbags, you know, the cup, the whatever, deployed. So the cabin has lost pressure. And the reason I did that is because what is pleasure? Well, pleasure is when everyone takes care of themselves first, and then you can take care of everyone else. And I thought about being on a plane because they say in case of the depressurization of the cabin, do not put the cup on your child's face. And I used to think when I was with my kids and they were very small, well, that fat chance of that. And then I realized, no, because if I don't take care of myself, no one is going to be able to take care of my kids. I have to be the one to take care of them. So it's very important in a relationship that you take care of yourself. So that's why those cards, that Six of Cups, is so good in a relationship, because it says everyone is going to take care of themselves in a relationship. And I believe that that is also very important in a physical relationship. And I don't mean that you take care of yourself, but you express to your partner what's important for you. This is what I like, and I want you to do it. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, right? Although it's been so long, I've forgotten. Kidding, old man. It's an old man joke. We all old men say things like that, even if it's true. The Seven of Cups, debauchery, or debauch. Seemingly a bad card. Now, in Crowley's deck, it's a pretty negative card, and in my deck, too. It's not as bad. Mine is Venus de Milo standing on top of a giant, deadly-looking scorpion. There are some aspects of it that aren't so bad, some that are very bad. It's a heavy Scorpio energy. Scorpio is sexuality. Love is deeply tied with sex. Psychosexuality, there, it can be very bad, it can be very good. It depends upon how we approach it. There are certain aspects of the world of debauch, and it doesn't, the problem is the card is, I think, badly named. There are aspects of sexuality that are completely rotten, such as the Epstein thing. There is no way to paint that with a pretty brush. It's all horrible. But there are aspects of sensuality that are lovely. And those are both in that card. So it's up to the personal, you know, aspect of it to find the good side. The Six of Discs. Yeah, that's a good card. The Six of Discs in a relationship. It really is. Eight of Discs. The Empress is a good card. The Nine of Cups. I'll just have to, we're almost out of time here, so I'm just going to have to, I can't qualify them. I just have to give them to you. The Three of Cups, Abundance. The Nine of Cups, Happiness, the wish card of the deck, actually. Don't believe the 10 is. It's not. People who say that, they don't get it. The Six of Swords, Science. People on that wavelength together, woof. Man, their minds are in melding form. The Two of Swords, Peace. Well, it's a lovely connection when you get that. Very rare, very, very rare. The Three of Discs, it's a pretty good one, Works. That means they're jiving. It's a pocket, a pocket, a machine. They're both in. The Four of Discs, Power. Man, I drew mine as those four discs being the base of a pyramid, the Great Pyramid. Incredible amount of power there. The Six of Discs, the Eight of Discs, the Empress, the Emperor, the Lovers, Death, believe it or not. Well, you know why. Scorpio, boom, boom, right? Nice stuff. It can be. Strength, which is in the Crowley deck, lust, for obvious reasons. You have to have power there. You have to have mutual respect. The Chariot card and Temperance, believe it or not, that's a great card in a relationship. Not because of temperance in the way of not drinking or something, but in the alchemical sense of tempering metal. And I can explain that some other time because I'm out of time. All right. I hope you enjoyed this. I had fun, but then I almost always do. So have a nice week. And I hope that you got something out of this. And I hope you have a lovely week. I love you all. Until next week, peace and love, my friends. Talk to you later. Bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3.